Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
Hey, Why Not You listeners. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Why Not You. I am your host, Derek Wells, and I am joined today by a special guest, Kay from Mind Matters with Kay. Now, Kay became a mental health advocate after having a personal crisis that literally shook up her world. And her experiences and willingness to overcome depression are triumphant. Now, we're about to journey deep into the heart of mental health and resilience. And we've unpacked the transformative power of just being vulnerable and the importance of seeking therapy and support, because this is something that we just can't overcome alone. And it's been a revelation to see how faith and self-discovery can actually guide us from the brink of despair to becoming beacons of hope for others. Our discussion revealed that triumph over trauma isn't just about personal victory. It's about being a lighthouse for people who are navigating their darkest hours. So join us in this episode of Why Not You. Let's go. Come on, Kay. Let's go.
I'm going to start talking and be giving it away. So let me just chill.
All right, sure. Let's get into it. Let's get into it. So ladies and gentlemen, I have Miss Kay with Mind Matters. She is killing it in a whole health wellness. I mean, because it's mental health. And mental health, I mean, so many people actually struggle with that. So I had to get Kay on here because she has a wealth of experience, knowledge just on the subject of mental health. And I think she could bring just a whole bunch of insight to the listeners. So I just want to thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Hello, viewers and listeners.
So I like to start like each episode off with a quote. And so I had this quote that I came across by Lisa Oliveira. It says, just because no one can heal or do the inner work for you doesn't mean you can, should, or need to do it alone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, how powerful is that statement?
Very powerful.
Yeah.
Very powerful. People don't understand that it needs to be done, regardless if you do it with a group, you do it by yourself. At some point, it really does need to be done because it allows you to live in your most authentic self, your most authentic space by realizing that you can heal. You should heal. Healing is great. You know, it's only beneficial, but, you know, people do need to understand that they don't have to do it alone. They can do it in any way, shape, or form that is conducive to their healing and they're moving beyond the things that keep them bound.
Yeah.
So that was very powerful when you sent that to me. So thank you.
You're welcome. And speaking on like just doing it alone, why do you think like just so many people actually feel like they need to do it alone or feel like they can't be vulnerable with just sharing how they truly feel?
Because, you know, we live in a society that's full of judgment. You know, people don't want to be judged. People don't want to be looked at as weak. They don't want to be looked at. You know, vulnerability is a scary thing. So people don't feel comfortable. Many people don't feel comfortable with sharing those insecurities, those vulnerabilities. You know, they don't want to be, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't want to be characterized, basically. They don't want to be put into a bubble, right? Like they don't, your mental health, oh, that means that you're crazy. Mental health and mental illness are two completely separate things. Mm-hmm. So people have a misunderstanding of what mental health encompasses. So, you know, for so long, mental health was confused with mental illness. Mental illness is those of clinical diagnosis, bipolarism, anorexia, cutting, schizophrenia, things of that nature. Mental health simply speaks to your overall well-being, which is your psychological, your emotional, your social well-being, are you clearing out your mind? Are you exercising your mind the same way you work your body out? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
because there's a negative stigmatization affiliated with mental health, people don't really tend to accept it for what it is. They look at it as, now I'm not crazy. No, you're not, but you're going to go crazy if you don't start to tend to that stuff, because I'm telling you, people go crazy. Keeping all that stuff inside, you gotta purge, you know, purge. But people have to become, you know, they have to become educated first to understand what it encompasses. And once they become educated on what it encompasses, it makes them a little bit more susceptible to accepting the fact that, okay, so maybe I do need to just kind of, you know, sit down with myself and reevaluate. And is there any things that I need to do, or any changes that I need to make? And then that's, you know, how they move from there. But
wow. Yeah. I never really thought about the differences between the two that you just talked about. Mm-hmm. That's pretty powerful. Yeah.
People don't, you know, mm-hmm. because for so long it was always associated with mental illness.
Yeah.
They're two different things. They're not the same thing. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're not like super far fetched from each other.
Right.
Because mental health really serves as a precursor to mental illness. So if you're not adequately dealing with your traumas or the things that are pretty much keeping you in a bad space, or a space that's non-conducive to where you're trying to go, mm-hmm. then it just doesn't serve you. So people have to become comfortable, right?
Right.
So if you don't tend to the mental health, right, your mental, emotional, psychological well-being, mm-hmm. and you keep on piling on, and life continues to happen, because life will never stop lifing for any of us,
right?
Like that's what it does. Is things just keep coming. It's like waves, just keeps crashing, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't stand up and catch your breath, you're going to drown.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So if you do not acknowledge that there are some things there that may need to be reassessed, you can end up being a schizophrenic, you know, entering a space of mental illness. So
that makes so much sense too.
It does, right?
It does, because if you're not taking care of yourself mentally, it's no telling what can happen. And you just think about like all the people just kind of go off the deep end.
Yeah.
Whether it's shooting or suicide, something's going on.
No, 100%. And it happens to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are just better at masking it or dealing with it. You know, in our country alone, approximately 1 million people die by suicide every year. That is 136 people per day. One person every 10.9 minutes dies in this country by suicide every year.
It's a
pandemic. And these are things that people aren't talking about because people don't know how to talk about it. Because for so long it was, we don't talk about, like, I'll say for the Black community, it was mental health didn't apply to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know my Latino friends say, you know, well, we don't talk about it, we drink about it. So there are these band-aids that we're essentially putting on, like, so the members, certain members of the Black community are suppressing it. Members of the Latino, I'm not going to generalize, but I'm just saying people of the Hispanic community, they drink. But we all know that those are band-aids, like, because at the end of the day, once you're no longer inebriated, the problem remains.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just suppressing the problem remains, but it's just going to come out in a different capacity.
Yeah.
So people have to become comfortable with having these conversations.
Wow. And this is huge. So I just want to, like, I want to find out, like, how did you actually get on this road? And like,
how much time do we have? That depends, Derek. I mean, you want the short version or do you want, no, I'm just kidding.
I guess you know, just what prompted you, you know, just to promote awareness for mental health.
Ooh, okay, so I basically had my own experience with it, right? Mm-hmm. I was somebody who suffered with anxiety and depression for over 20 years, and I did not know what it was. I just knew something was off. Like, there was something in me that needed to be rectified, but I didn't know how to go about understanding what it was, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know, because again, for so long it didn't apply to us. So that was something that never ever ever came to my mind. And in December of 2017, I had a very, very bad breakdown. I broke down emotionally, mentally, psychologically, spiritually, and I was going to kill myself. I became suicidal as a result of not taking care of, again, the trauma that I had growing up. You know, I grew up in a very abusive household, mentally, physically, so, you know, psychologically. And, you know, when you're a child and you don't get help for that, that carries with you. And it, again, like I've said two or three times already, it comes out in a different way.
Yeah.
So I became suicidal. And at that moment, I embarked on a journey. And the only reason why I'm here today is because God spoke to me in that moment. So I also want people, before I continue, I also want people to understand how vital spirituality is. Whether I'm not here to judge who and what people believe, but mm-hmm. as long as you are anchored in something, some sort of higher power than you, because that's what you're going to need to rely on when you, or if you ever enter that dark space. I never thought I would, but I did.
Yeah.
And it almost cost me my life, right? So I embarked on a journey for 3 years, and that was when God pretty much tore me down. Like, literally, he tore my tail up. Like, I ain't never been beat like that. Like, I had to, it was bad. But, you know, retrospectively, it served its purpose, right? Because it allowed me to remove all the traumas that I was living through that I didn't know I was living through. It allowed me to become who I needed to be. It allowed me to become my most authentic self. It helped me to learn a lot about myself. So, you know, once my journey ended in January of 2020, God birthed me with a vision, and it like slapped me in the face. And I'm like, oh my God, that was mental health. Like, I had no idea, you know? And how many other people don't know that, right? So that was how I began to seek out how to help people, you know, becoming a mental health advocate, mental health and suicide and awareness and prevention advocate, because I understand there are so many people who do need these types of dialogues because it'll essentially serve as a roadmap for them, because maybe they don't know what they're dealing with and how to go about it. So if they have someone who pretty much serves as like a poster child, kind of get them to start looking at themselves and being like, okay, all right. So, okay, that's what this is, helping identify what it is that they need in that most vulnerable moment for them.
And that is huge. Because as you're talking, of course, the first thing I'm thinking about is just your testimony and how powerful a testimony is and how you really start to impact other people. Because we already talked about it earlier, as far as like just being vulnerable and the fact that you being vulnerable, you're just kind of sharing, because I think that's so hard for people to actually kind of, one, you actually have to be in a place to accept who you are at that time.
Right.
And then once you actually identify, okay, this is who I am, and you're like, I can't change who I am. Right. I can only become better.
Right.
And now you start sharing that story. That's powerful.
You know, I'll be honest, when God unveiled that this was my purpose, it was very scary. Again, for several reasons that I said before, you know, people don't want to be judged. Right. You know, when you hear people like, oh, they're suicidal, that means they're crazy. They need to be locked in a psychiatric ward. And that's not always true.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we're all human beings. And a lot of times we just go through life without really reconciling things in our lives that need to be reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes as a result of that, people end up, you know, entering a really dark space. And I, you know, before I entered that space, I would have never thought I would have been suicidal ever. Like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, but you can't judge that if you've never been there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So there was a lot of things that I was wearing. There was a lot of things ascribed to me that didn't belong to me that I needed to peel off.
Yeah.
And doing that, the waves are still coming. Things are still happening. Mm-hmm. And they're traumatic things. And a lot of the things that I was going through, I was going through a lot of problems simultaneously. And every problem I had essentially had an entire life of its own.
Mm.
Then we go into COVID. You know, there was a whole plethora of the the state of unknown with that. Like, we've never been in a national global pandemic, you know. Right. Historically they have, you know, been, but we've never been exposed to it. So
right.
There was a lot of things that triggered that. And I will say, for people, you know, with suicide, I feel like God allowed me to experience that as well, just so I can tell people, like, because some people who have family members that has mm-hmm. died by suicide, sometimes they wear that. What could I have done? Right. What should I have done? How didn't I see it? Or it can be, oh, well, that was selfish. How mm-hmm. could they do that? How could they do that to their children? But what people don't realize is, when a person enters that brink, they're not logically thinking, because they're incapable of doing so, because everything that's wrong is swarming around here, and it's loud. It's loud. And, you know, we can't escape our minds. Our 3-pound muscle is in our body, but 24/7, 3 days, you know, 365, you can't turn it off.
Yeah.
Sometimes people aren't able to quiet down that noise, and they snap in that moment. So it's not always like, oh, you know, where they sit down and write a Dear John letter. That's really like the movies. That's yeah. movie stuff. Real right. life, people snap in that situation. I understand it, because it happened to me. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I always had a relationship with God, and He directly spoke to me and gave me direction. It was up to me to listen. You know, God, you know,
right.
mm-hmm. God gives warning before destruction. You know, right. it was to me to listen. But throughout all of the voices and the deficiencies and what's wrong, I was still able to hear God in the midst of that. So
yeah.
I feel like God allowed me to experience that, so I can help other people heal from that as well. It's not just their own traumas.
Mm-hmm.
It's the traumas of losing a loved one to suicide,
right.
because sometimes people don't understand it, especially if they've never been there. Yeah. So if I'm able to articulate that in a different regard for them, sometimes it'll help that family member be, okay, all right. So mm-hmm. it wasn't that they were just being selfish. It was too much. And
yeah.
unfortunately, sometimes people succumb to that.
Wow. So after God came in, I mean, after you just kind of heard that voice, what was your thought process then, as far as like just navigating the negative thoughts and the perceptions that you might've had about yourself that weren't really true? Because, you know, God already, we're part of God's creation, and we already know the power that God has.
Yes.
And so it's just a matter of just, okay, now I have to be in a place where I could just actually receive and believe and start applying.
Yes. Yes. So when God spoke to me, He gave me instruction. He told me to go get a hotel room for 3 days. So before I do that,
mm-hmm.
I was praying. I was telling God I was sorry. Like, I literally snapped. I had enough. I was in the house and I was getting dressed. I am petrified of drowning. But ironically, my thought, I was going to drive myself off of a pier into the water. I was going to drown myself. Even hearing myself say that, it gives me chills, because it's like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
But I wasn't in the right mind space.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm telling God, like, you know, I'm sorry. I give up. I can't. It's too heavy. It's too much. And I feel like I'm breaking down. So God told me, go get a room for 3 days. And I said what I just said. No, God, I'm done. I've had enough. I said, I feel like I'm breaking down. And God said to me, sometimes I have to break you down to build you back up. Go get a room for 3 days. I'm telling you. And it was a very firm voice. It wasn't like, no, where you have to be like, was that guy? No, it was very, very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Go get a room for 3 days. And I did that. And that is what that's when my journey began. So what that was, you know, looking back again, retrospectively, it was God needed me to get out of the space that I was in, put me mm-hmm. in a different environment so I could get my bearings in order. You know, I stayed in the room. I cried a lot at that time. You know, I was a heavy marijuana user, because that, you know, smoking a little bit of bud kind of gets you out of your reality. You be chilling.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you chilling. So, you know, that was my medicine. But at some point, that no longer worked for me.
Yeah.
Which is why I entered the space that I did. But just being in that room and being alone with God and crying and just, like, I'm telling you, like, it was three of the most scariest days of my life. But I will say that I didn't think any more about suicide at that point. Going through the journey when God is like built up, breaking you down to build you back up. He meant that in every sense, in every area of my life. He was tearing me down. You understand me? I'm like, dang. But, you know, it doesn't feel good going through it.
Right.
But the reward of it after the fact, I am so different. I am so much lighter. I'm better. My mind has been rewired. My heart has been rewired. So going through it, is it fun? No.
Yeah.
Sure, it's there, you know? Mm-hmm. But it is so worth it because now I am in a space where I can operate in my purpose. There's no way that I could have done what I'm doing now in the headspace, mental space, psychological space, spiritual space, mental. There was no way.
Yeah.
I would not have been able to do what I'm on this, what God has put me on this earth to do. I had to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, things don't happen to us. They happen for us. Mm-hmm. And that's, if you start to look at it like that, then you can, you'll be a little bit more easier on yourself about going through your trials.
Yeah. And I don't know why, as you were talking, one of the first things I thought about was Joshua. When Joshua had to take over after Moses passed, and God was like, be strong and courageous. And he said it three times, right? Be strong and courageous, because the road that you're about to endure and the people that you're going to have to guide is going to be no joke. But I just want you to be strong and courageous because I got your back.
Yep.
And I've already given you a plan, and I already know what you're going to be doing for me. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be following through.
God ain't no joke. He tells you something, you're going to do it.
For real.
Whether you like it or not. And mine was a actual forced shutdown. I had been running for years. But God had to put me in a space where I was so vulnerable that I had no choice but to allow myself to self-destruct. Because I still had a choice, right? I could have chose not to listen.
Right.
But that wasn't God. Again, God knows how much we can handle. And he knew that putting me in that space, I wasn't going to go to the extent of what I thought in my flesh was going to do. God prevented that. But, you know, again, sometimes we never know why we go through the things we go through.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, God allows you to see why he took you through what he took you through. Some, you know, it doesn't feel good going through it. Sometimes it's like a why me, but it's like, well, why not you? Especially if God's trying to prepare you for greatness. Sometimes you got to go through some things.
Right.
And that's what he had to do. He had to go through some things because he was about to lead people. And when you're leading people, you know, you're essentially being a representative of Christ. And you have to endure some things in order to sustain whatever it is you're about to endure.
Right. Especially when you're dealing with that many people.
Right? Yes.
Personalities and they're, oh my gosh.
Oh yes. It's not easy. Not at all.
And so I guess one of the things I just love just about the story as far as, you know, what you're doing now, but how you're going to be able to like just free so many people from living in bondage.
So God's given me a gift.
Mm-hmm.
People are naturally drawn to me, which is a good thing, right? I have a spirit of, people trust me off the bat. I'm grateful for that because again, people aren't, especially if they don't know you, people aren't so quick to just trust you. But once they feel the energy, that makes them safe with me, right? They can tell me what they're going through. I can hear it and then I can translate it in a different way for them, but it'll be in a positive light.
Right.
And it'll also include proactivity in how to move beyond what they're going through. So number one is empathizing with people. I'm a natural born humanitarian. Like I just, you know, I care about people. That's always been in me regardless. But God just allowed me to hone in on that.
Yeah.
So just to be able to hear someone out, no judgment, tell them that they're accurate in their feelings, because we can never tell somebody that they're wrong for feeling how they feel. Mm-hmm. People are entitled to feel how they feel. However, sometimes what you're feeling may not necessarily be what you think it is. So if you're telling me, listen, this is what happened to me, this is what I'm going through, you know, I hear you. I'm listening 100%. But I want you to know that you're still strong, like you're still standing. So it's providing words of affirmation for them in addition to listening to them and then repeating what they said, but extracting the positivity out of what they just told me and then giving them a actionary measure on how to move beyond that space that they're in. You know, sometimes it's not enough to just listen to people. Sometimes some people just want you to listen, right? I don't force myself on people, but I want to know how can I help. So if you tell me, listen, I don't know what to do, I'm gonna allow you your time to be completely vulnerable with me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assure you that nothing that we discuss is going to move beyond either of us. And I just want people to feel that they are safe and that there are people in the world who want to see the better of good in you, who will not judge you, who is understanding of life and that life happens to everybody, and just really be that beacon of light when they are in a dark space.
Yeah.
So that works for me. You know, like when I said, you know, God broke me down and he rewired my mind, that was a gift that he gave me for the endurance that I endured. Oh, excuse me, the thing that I endured. So he gave me a gift. So people, again, like you'll be surprised, like how many people, you know, message me, how many people, you know, send me emails. I'm glad to do that. Yeah. You know, I'm glad to do that. Like I'm full of stories, but you know, I just want people to understand that there is somebody like that you really can rely on and be vulnerable with. So you can now begin your journey, because if not, it's just going to continue to keep you bound. And how is that helping anyone?
Right. So do you see, like you just said, you know, people, all these people are like sending you emails and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel like, I guess there will ever be a time just with your program, because I know you're doing some remarkable stuff just with people and influencing folks' lives, right? Do you ever see yourself as far as, all right, let's have a conference or some kind of like Q&A session where you just go live or something like that, and you just set it up where they guess people could just ask questions and you could just reveal this. All right, cool.
Yes, it's a lot behind that. It's a lot it's a lot of planning. Right. You know, I'm a year in September, it's been a year that I've been doing my advocacy. Uh-huh. I just started the Mind Matters podcast in August. So a lot of this is trial and error. I'm trying to see what works for people, what fits, you know, how to be successful in it, you know, but positivity is not something that everybody's looking for. Right. You know, we live in a world that is saturated in negativity. People want to see ratchetness. People want to see fighting. People want to see people failing. Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing is not necessarily something that everyone's checking for. Right. And for me, that's okay. If I can just reach one person, I feel like I'm doing my due diligence. And I'm going to tell you why. People worry about, you know, being viral, the numbers, how many subscribers. I mean, you still want your subscribers to go up because you want to see the manifestations of what you're doing. However, if you can help change one person's mind, essentially everyone around them benefits from that. Their children, their spouse, their friends, their loved ones, because they're in a different headspace. So they're no longer operating from a place of trauma, hurt, insecurity, failure, fear. They're operating now from a place of reassurance, proactivity, positivity. So they'll respond differently to their children. Instead of yelling at them, maybe they'll talk to them, you know, instead of going off and throwing a shoe at them. You know what I mean? Like, they'll be more so to be like, yo, what's up? What's up with you? You know, your spouse, they won't shut down. They'll be more wanting to they'll want to communicate with you in a different capacity. Whereas before, either they shut down or all they do is yell, because maybe that's something that they grew up around. And for them, that's normal because that's what they saw.
Right.
So again, if it's one person, it's changing the trajectory because everybody around them is now benefiting from that one person. Mm-hmm. And that one person is pretty much setting the tone. And then they're as the children and their spouse, they're being recipients of it. That makes them happier. So then now they're living happier. They're not living in fear of whatever's going on. You know what I mean? So when you look at the bigger picture, it's not about numbers on social media. I know people are completely infatuated with the internet. I get it. But if you could just help one person, it's not really just helping that one because it's everybody around them.
Right.
It helps generational, it helps break generational curses of living in trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Now being able to effectively communicate, you know, being mature and taking accountability. And you know what I mean? So there's a lot of benefits from helping one person. If people can just extract the positivity out of, people hear that one person, girl, like, no, one person, because you're not thinking about it, the longevity of it.
Right.
You're thinking about the right, you know, for right now. It's not just always about for right now.
And that makes a whole lot of sense. And what you said also just about the families and just being able to impact one person, because you think about like how hard it is for somebody who's been raised in like a traumatic environment, and that's all they know. And so if that's all they know, that's what they're going to do. And so just being able to be in a place where somebody's actually just kind of hearing like positive reinforcements on a daily, but then at the same time, this is habitual. So now you got to help this person like change these habits that they've been, that's incorporated in their lives on a whole subconscious level. So I mean, it's just day after day.
It's going to be, you know, it's going to be constant work, you know, and I make sure I tell people that, like, yes, you know, I went through a journey for 3 years and God has helped me from a lot, but it's still an ongoing process. It never ends, because now that you've gotten rid of old habits, that old habits are your essentially your first nature, how you respond initially. When you learn different techniques and learn how to move beyond how you used to respond, it's work to maintain that.
Yeah.
Because you have to be present. You have to be in the forefront of understanding, like, listen, I still have to actively work at this, because this was not my DNA. If you grow up in a certain environment and all you hear is yelling, you're going to adopt that characteristic, because that's what you know. Doesn't mean the person's, you know, bad. Sometimes you need to go through life to see that what you learn is not how it should be and what it should be. So you have to essentially unlearn that behavior. And in unlearning, you have to replace it with something. When you replace it with something positive, you have to actively work at it every day to make sure you don't revert back to your old ways and how you used to handle things. So, you know, healing is good. But just know it don't stop at the healing. You gotta continually keep going. Like, it's gonna be work, and there are gonna be some days you're gonna be like, I just wanna give up. But what is the alternative? To go back to, that's not it. You have to keep growing, you have to keep looking ahead, you know. But that's why it's important to have people around you who's gonna motivate you, who's gonna empower you, like, girl or man, you got this, like, you know, and again, give you something positive to take away from it that they can ponder on and take with them, so when they start to get in their heads, they will be able to remember what you said and apply it and just continue to just keep full throttle in the head, you know. It's just, it's not easy.
I know. You know what I thought about was, you remember Robin Williams? Did you ever know
the one who died by suicide?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's a perfect example.
Yes.
Perfect example. Celebrity, money, fame. But what people don't realize is happiness comes from within. It has nothing to do with your stature, your money, what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, mental health does not discriminate based on color, creed, sexual orientation, identity. It does not care. If you are a human being having a human experience with this 3-pound organ in your head, you are susceptible to mental health issues. And unfortunately, people look at that and be like, I would have never done that. He's crazy. How would he do? You don't know what that man was internally dealing with.
Right.
He was fighting some things. And sometimes being famous actually has the adverse effect, because you have so many people around you, so many people that rely on you. You can't mess up. because the entire world's looking at you. Mm-hmm. So they're under different pressure. So people have to be careful with counting other people's blessings, because you never know how you would respond in that type of situation. You know what I mean? Like, I know I have people who've been in, you know, movies and stuff like that. And it's a lot of pressure to, but you know, with us, we can go outside and trip on the curb and be like, oh shoot. Like a famous person,
right.
Oh my God. Soon as they trip, it's gonna be everywhere.
Everywhere, huh?
It's gonna be memes, it's gonna be gifs everywhere. Like, they have this, like, I'm telling you, the second you do something so minute that the typical person does, it's going to exacerbate and it's going to hit all of the major tabloids. It's too much because they have to maintain this perfection persona. So again, like Robin Williams was funny. He was entertaining. He always had a smile. And that's the misconception. Because when I was suicidal, no one knew. I stayed dressed. I still was myself, funny and helpful. You know, my hair stayed done. I was still going to work. But internally, I was struggling and dealing with a lot. So we all have limits, right? And again, that's where your higher power, your meditation, whatever you do to bring yourself in is going to need to come into play, because at some point you're going to need that.
Right.
No one's exempt from life, you know? So.
Yeah, I think it's a shame that, you know, when you think of, I mean, we just never know how many people are out there who are just wearing this mask to conceal what's really going on. And I never forget when I watched, it was a documentary on Netflix. I think it was called The Mask, The Mask You Live In.
Okay.
Or something like that. But it started off with the football player doing an intro, and he talked about how his father took him down to the basement and told him what a man was. And a man doesn't show any kind of emotion. A man doesn't cry. A man doesn't do this. And so his whole life, even as he's playing professional football, he's thinking about what a man is, right? And how much it actually impacted him. And just hearing him talk about it at that stage in his life, I mean, it's sad, because it started off because of his father implanting this image of what a man is, and he couldn't live up to, or he just tried his hardest to live up to that expectation,
right.
And he wasn't being true to himself.
Right.
I was like, it's deep.
What's the name of that? I would like to watch that.
I think it's called The Mask You Live In.
Okay.
I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
Okay. Yeah, please. Like, I'm intrigued by that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's so much of that, right? Like, that in itself is trauma, because, you know, with males, men have this false expectation of being concrete. You guys are made up with the same flesh, blood, tears, you guys have the same exact thing that we do. So to tell a man that he is not allowed to feel is giving him trauma in itself. It's putting false expectations on him, because he's a human being with human emotions. Now, I will say, I was guilty of that. I will say, one thing is, I am 100% accountable. I had two children young, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have the same father. Unfortunately, we didn't work, so I was a single mother. And, you know, when you're young and what you're taught, same thing. Like, when my sons would cry, I have boys, right? Stop crying. Men don't cry. Da, da, da. I was guilty of that, right? They are now 24 and 22. Wow. I have a six-year-old, right? Another story for another day. I have a... Huge gap. Yeah. God has a very funny sense of humor, but so I have a six-year-old now, right? But the dynamics are different, because his father is very active. Although we are no longer in a relationship, his father is very, he's a very intricate part in our son's life. But even with me, I talk to him different. I don't shut him down when he's crying. Now, I'm not saying I want no whiny behind kid, because, like, you need to relax. You know what I mean?
Right.
But if he's crying, we ain't doing that. But if he's crying, I now want to know why you're crying. I want to help you settle down, relax. Come on, let's talk. Let's talk this out. What's wrong? Before, it was none of that. It was shut your mouth before I give you something to cry about. which is learned behavior. So many people with, you know, parenting doesn't come with a handbook. You essentially mimic what parenting skills you learn, or, you know, do you learn from your parents when you were growing up, right? But how is that really affecting them long term? To your point,
right?
They're living up, they're trying to fill these shoes. That's just not, that's not, it's not feasible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you know better, you do better. You know, I would never shut my son, even the older ones now. Like, I, you know, they're, don't get me wrong, they wasn't like traumatized, but I just know. I didn't traumatize the kids, y'all. Just saying, I don't want everybody to start, oh, she's a bad mom. No, calm down, guys. Calm down, simmer down. I'm just saying that I understand the differences because I was young. I was still trying to figure it out. Single mom. I got boys. My mind is, you don't cry. You know, you tough it out. You know, shake it off. And in some instances, you gotta be like, yo, you gotta shake that off, depending on what it is. But first, you have to understand what it is that's making them upset, you know? Because unemotionally available children become unemotionally available men who are supposed to be fathers and husbands.
Right.
So we're actually doing a disservice to them by shutting them down, right? Because now they don't know how to articulate what they feel. They don't know how to tell you how they feel. And if they do want to tell you, they won't, because in their minds they'll be emasculated. She's not going to respect me if I tell her I feel like this, or if I cry in front of her. That's crap. Cry. You need a tissue? I cry with you. Come on. You know, like, you gotta let people release. But that's why I feel like there's so many killings out here, like with men, because they harbor so much toxicity and they have no way to get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, like when you cry, like I know for me, when I get really, really mad, which has not been in a very long time, thank God. But if I would get mad, I would cry, right? But crying is a release of toxins. It's releasing that negative energy that's in your body. So once you cry it out, now you can become logical in your thinking and think of how you're going to respond to it versus handling it in anger. Because let's be frank, nothing you do in anger is really going to be conducive to anything good.
That's true.
Right? So we have to start with, I do things with men too. Like I wanna have like, I'm actually setting up a round table talk with four men.
Nice.
Because I want them to understand that they matter too. You know, we're all humans, regardless if you're male or female, we're human beings. And if people begin to start having these conversations, start opening up the floor for men to feel like it's okay to, you know, speak on how they feel, and, you know, It starts to change the trajectory of everyone.
Sure does.
You know, it's a bigger picture.
It is. And just think about how many people that those men will be able to impact just from hearing their stories. That's going to be huge.
Yeah. 100%. Especially because there are so many men who do not speak up. So if they can look at another man who they can see, that's why I have four. Because somebody is going to identify with one of them four.
That's right.
Right? Uh-huh. They'll be able to see themselves in that man.
Uh-huh.
And they'll be like, okay, but he's explaining it this way and it's not coming off feminine. Right? So it'll give him hope. It'll give him, it'll empower him to start exploring.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm a little bit more open-minded to it. Whereas before I was shut down, like, nah, I'm a man, I don't do that. But if they can see professional men, not, you know, I mean, even if they were, who cares? If it's a man, period, if they can see themselves in that person, it sets the tone for them to now start reassessing whether they need to open up or see a counselor, a therapist. There's nothing wrong with that. Got to destigmatize that as well, you know? So everything, you just got something. People just need to see examples, you know, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to start setting examples for people to be able to reassess and just kind of confront what's holding them back, you know?
Yeah. And so, like, just based off your experiences and what you've had to overcome, what do you think are, like, so the benefits of just being in that healthy place mentally?
There's a lot of benefits. a lot of benefits. Again, because you're now thinking in a different capacity. You're much more lighter. You're not sitting around angry about things that's mm-hmm. in the past, that's actually controlling you in the future. You know, just being in a positive headspace is just like one of the best things you can do for yourself, because it frees up all of that space in mm-hmm. here, your mind and your heart, to receive life as it comes.
Yeah.
Right? But when you're not in a positive headspace, the life that's still going to come, you are essentially piling it on, and all you're doing is making your brain and your heart overweight. Sometimes you're making it morbidly obese and you don't understand that, you know, because again, people think like they're just, oh, you know, I'm strong, I got it. You could be strong all day, but you know, you still got to process some things, and it's okay to process things that happen, which is why I always say it's okay not to be okay. Mm-hmm. People have to understand that it is okay to not be okay. It's okay to be like, listen, I need a moment. I need a timeout, because that is severely looked at as a negative, when that's really a positive. It's a strength, because now you are understanding that there's something there and you need a moment. You're not just going to be like, oh, I'm strong, I got it, take it on. And now that's another thing you pile on that eventually you are going to have to deal with later. Mm-hmm. So just recognizing that there is something there that you may need to reconcile, that is 100% strength. So we work toward making sure people are able to extract the positivity out of these actions that are deemed otherwise negative.
Yeah.
It's not negative.
I don't know why people feel like they need to go 100% all the time, or that they need to be 100% like just available, or that could be it. Just because you end up doing yourself a disservice, because not everybody could just function at a high capacity 24/7. And sometimes you need to put yourself on a timeout and just do some reflection.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay to be selfish.
Yeah.
Because you have to be selfish with yourself, because if you wear yourself thin, you're going to have some type of breakdown. It may not be as severe as suicide, but there are such things as psychological breakdowns. Emotional meltdowns. There are so many other, you know, weight. Like, that was one thing about me. Again, I suppressed it for so long. I had lost over 40 pounds.
Wow.
Some women may be like, oh, girl, that ain't bad. Yeah. When you 5'2 and you used to a certain weight, you know, people start speculating like she on drugs, because I had heard that. You know, I had lost so much. Again, everything was the same, but my weight, I had got down so, I was so skinny. And for me, that is when I realized that I needed to reassess. Mm-hmm. Because again, when mental health is not on your radar, this is not something you even consider. You just keep trucking through life. That's what you were told to do, right? And one day I was walking, I was minding my business, right? And you know how, like you walk past a storefront and you can see your reflection, right?
Right, right.
I'm walking. I was like, whoa, what? I'm telling you, like, I look at myself every day in the mirror, but I did not recognize how thin I was. My face was severely sunken in. I was a mess. And I'm like, okay, that was God showing me that I was literally deteriorating because of the things that was festering. And it started to make an effect on my body. Right? People die from that type of stuff. You know, stress is one of the worst things to carry. So in order to alleviate stress, we got to start having these conversations.
Yeah, that is so huge right there. It's just that stress piece alone.
Man.
I was listening to somebody yesterday and he was just talking about, he took his mom on vacation, and I think they went on, it was like a 3-week vacation. I think they just traveled. They did some traveling around the world. I mean, they went international with it. And he said his mom had high blood pressure prior to actually going on this vacation. And he said that when they got back, you know, she ended up going to the doctor for a follow-up. And when they did the examinations, they're like, oh, your blood pressure is like super low. It's like normal. All of a sudden, like, there's no more stress. And she just kind of talked about like this vacation she went on with her son and just that peace of mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Because just removing yourself from your environment sometimes is essential. Ooh. Like, you know, and again, like there may be.
Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Why Not You. I want to thank Kay for her testimony, for her willingness to be vulnerable, transparent, and just sharing a part of her life that actually brought healing to her. It actually freed her up, literally. And you can see it. And it's just a testament to when you invest in yourself and allow others to invest in you also, the sky's the limit. There's so much freedom because now that weight, that burden that you've been carrying around is lifted, but it's not easy. And we saw that. So I definitely want you all just to remember that, well, mental health or your mental health being is the bedrock of your personal successes and your relationships. So embrace the journey. You don't have to do it alone. Lead into those tough times and watch as you not only transform yourself, but also those around you. Because we know trials aren't here to break us, but here to make us. And so just stay courageous, keep the faith, keep growing, and above all, remain authentic. This is Why Not You, where we believe in the power of you turning adversity into an advantage. See you in the next episode. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.